And the Apostle Paul and his team had just had come through Berea. And you remember the Bereans were so cool because every time the guys would preach, they'd get out their scriptures and see if they were preaching according to the word. And they were excited because they saw the gospel that was being preached was substantiated by the written word of God. And that's always the way it's got to be. If you can't prove what you're saying from the scriptures, then shut up. Or let's get a cup of coffee and you tell me how you're feeling. But he went from Berea, leading the team. They were back yonder praying for him, and he's just walking the streets of Athens. And I can see the Apostle Paul just walking around. He'd spent a little time in the synagogue, and then he's walking the streets, kind of like the prayer walk that Allison and her team did. Probably not terribly far from there, in that same geographical area. And he would just, whoever he could talk to, he would talk. And he would tell them about Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, who came down. God became flesh and dwelt among us. And then he sacrificed his life that we might have redemption in his shed blood. And so some of the scholars of that area, the scholars, said, "We'd like to hear more of this. Could you preach for us? Come here. We have a place here where somebody will give their theory of life." And so here's, I can just see the Apostle Paul walking up there, saying, "Oh, Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, fill me." I can just see that. Oh, glory to God. And so we pick up on that story here in chapter 17. Oh, and let's just jump into verse 23. "For as I passed by, I beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.'" You know that you're into idolatry when you think of all the things you could have an idol for. And say, "You know, I know we're missing something." Yeah, you are. You're missing something. As long as you got the idol, you're missing something. So let's have an idol to the unknown God. So they did. They had this one that had a little plaque out there. I could just see it. It'd be engraved. "To the unknown God." How you doing, unknown God? "So, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship," and that kind of impressed me too. He just called them a bunch of ignoramuses, and they thought they were about the smartest guys going. "Who you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything." It's kind of like sometimes some religions, they have to leave some food because the gods may be hungry. I was at a wedding last night, and they brought out hors d'oeuvres. And you know what? I'm no god because I was hungry. I ate all the But I can see some of these vegetables and things that they'd leave. Would you leave a steak? The vegetables are nice, but could you leave a hamburger? Something, you know, but anyway. He's saying he doesn't need to be served with your hands as though he needed anything. "See, he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made out of one blood all the nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." And you wonder where that bounds of that habitation is. We thought maybe it had to be in earth, and now they're sending probes out past the end of the universe, as it were. But he'll limit. Verse 27, "that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him." I want you to just think of that word, feel. "That they might feel after him and find him, though he is not far from every one of us." I could just see he's telling them, he says, maybe not in your heart, but when you've got an altar here to an unknown a God that you don't know. You're feeling for something. I could just see him going, we know you're out there. We know you're out there. Just so we don't miss you. Here's an altar for you. That they might find him. Verse 28. And this is I just love this. For in him, this God, we can call him the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We can call him the God that Moses met there in front of the burning bush. I am that I am. Translated, Yahweh. I am Jehovah Jireh. I am the Heavenly Father. I am Abba. I love Abba. Woo! And he said, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own prophets have said, for we are also his offspring. So one artist, a third century BC poet, had a big poem, and part of that was the last part of this verse. Where's offspring? They knew there was a connection to the God that had created them. But Paul is telling them, who you were feeling after has come after you. He loved you so much that he sent his only begotten Son. Now, I personally, and I believe the Church of God personally believes in a triune God. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, Holy Ghost is that's King James. There's something precious about that. We say, praise God from whom all blessings flow, and we say Holy Ghost in there. But so, what I was sharing with Pastor Don, he wanted to kind of know what I was going to be speaking on, because we go over what he's going to be speaking on when we have coffee about once a week, partner. And I told him, I said, what's coming to me is the question, where is God not? Is that a dumb question? Where is God not? And so what I'm sensing is just to stimulate your minds afresh on a doctrine called the omnipresence of God. You know, there's the omnipotence of God, omniscience of God, and the omnipresence of God. We believe that he's everywhere present. Now, the scriptures tell us that everything that is in the universe was created by the breath of God, the word of God, his word. And John 1:1 says that Jesus created it all. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And he created everything. And then Hebrews tells us he holds it together by the word of his power. Now, when I was in chemistry in college, up in Flagstaff at the university, they just told me about the smallest part was an atom. And it had a neutrons and electrons and hootrons, whatever trons. And then as I grew older, they were splitting it. Actually, they split it before. But they didn't talk a lot about that because it leveled cities out. But what is the smallest particle? Now I understand a thing called quantum physics. They say it's smaller than the atom, smaller than the electron, smaller. It's what everything is made out of. Quarks, neutrinos. And there's a debate. Are the smallest particles of our universe, are they light? Or is it sound? What is it? And we know the answer. It's the Word of God. The smallest part. And actually, the molecules or atoms or whatever you want to call them that you're sitting on right now is held together by the Lord Jesus Christ. He is everywhere present. He's not everything. Now keep in mind, the pantheists say that God is everything. God is this table. Let's go hug a tree because that tree is God. And Mother Earth is coming up in a week or so. You know what? Earth is not my mother. But I know who my father is. We got this Heavenly Father. You know who my mother is? I am born again of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. If there's a mother to be had, I'm born again of the Holy Ghost. But I just like to think of the masculine sense too. You know, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the Trinity. They're everywhere present. See, that's the way God could be everywhere present. Because God the Holy Spirit is here right now. Jesus said, it's better that I send him. Send him how? He was here already. The Holy Spirit's always been here. And David said, if I go up to the heavens, he's there. If I go down into hell, he's there. I can't get away from God the Holy Spirit. So he was already there. But Jesus said, it's better that I go to heaven so that he can come. Come how? In manifest glory. The Holy Spirit is here, and he is so here that whatever your need is, he is here to meet it. Because it's better that Jesus went to the Father that the Holy Spirit could come. So I just want us to think a little bit about what it means that the Holy Spirit is holding everything together and that he's here. You got these disciples that were scared stiff. Their master had been slain, lied about, trumped up charges. He was crucified like a common thief. And these guards were looking for anybody associated with him. So they're in this upper room, and they've got everything locked up so they could protect themselves. And all of a sudden, the God who's everywhere manifested in their midst. You know, I grew up thinking that Jesus, that I thought the word said, and I've read this book for 50 years, I thought it said that he walked through the walls. I can't find that anywhere. He just appeared. He was there all the time, but he manifested his glory. And I've heard so many testimonies of him manifesting his glory to people. And some of the most awesome testimonies from the Middle East. You know, we had Articino, we had a missionary, one of our missionaries that had spent, and she's still there. She's home on leave right now. But Connie Huffer had ministered to these Arab-speaking people that were Muslims. And just before Allison went to stake out Turkey steaks? No, just before she went, we had lunch over at Camp Verde with Allie and Connie and Norma and I. And she would tell us some of the reports of Jesus manifesting in people's dreams. And they would wake up and they wanted to know this Jesus. Some people had seen a manifestation of Jesus and became Christians. Now over there, you can't preach out in the open. You preach out there in the open, you're dead. They've got a Head Start program and they're always looking for extra heads. And you go preaching Jesus out in the open, and that's why the team that's going into Turkey, that team has got to love people and gain their trust until the Holy Spirit, who appeared to the disciples, somehow manifests his glory in these people and they open their heart to hear the gospel. Now just think about it. Going as a missionary to people that want to see you dead, knowing that Jesus is there already. And that when he manifests, he's going to open that heart up and give you a green light to share his love and see him do incredible miracles. There, and Connie was giving us proof, testimonies of people that she helped disciple then, that Jesus manifested to. And some it was angels, but some it was Jesus. And so we're sending Allison over to this country that is just a bit gloomy when you watch the news. But we know there is not a place where God isn't. And we know that when he shows up, when he manifests his glory, hearts over there are going to open up. There's a verse in Psalm 34. It says, "The angels of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him." You remember that verse? "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about." And that's Psalm 34:7. And the next verse, "The Lord is good." "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Now think about it. Paul is saying to these people, you guys were trying to feel for God. And the Old Testament psalmist, the King David, was saying, taste. Taste. You've been feeling for God? You're feeling around for him? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Have you ever felt so hungry for something and you didn't know what it was? Honey, child, you was hungry for a taste of the triune God. You were hungry for a taste of the Holy Spirit. You know, we saw him manifest when I was finishing off Bible college, and I was a youth pastor, Valley Bible Church in Phoenix, Osborne and the Canal. And we saw the Holy Ghost come and minister and fall on the youth group. It was awesome. It wasn't a Pentecostal thing. We weren't Pentecostal. We were taught against Pentecost. That was somebody else. But the Holy Spirit showed up and did something in these kids, and they started bringing their unsaved friends to youth group, and they were getting saved. And as a youth pastor, my heart was exploding with the glory of God because he was manifesting in that youth group. Our first church that I was a pastor of was the First Baptist Church of Page, Arizona. It's bigger now, but it was really small then. And they had shut the church down, and after they had finished completing the reservoir up there. Yeah, careful how you say that. But they had finished constructing that, and the church was booming while they had all the workers in town. But when all the workers left because the reservoir was finished, we used to tease because you could say damn when you went around that. If you're a good conservative Christian, you know what I mean. It was just, oh, look at the dam. Oh, the reservoir. And so we were sending, here's this young kid, pretty fresh out of Bible college, three kids, and they said, "We want you to go to Page and reopen that church." Whew. I couldn't feel God anywheres up there. And I'd get in my little study there and pray and preach and knock on doors, and I'd just go into the hospital. You know, I'm not outward, but the Holy Spirit would come on me, and I would go to the hospital, and I'd go from bed to bed, just say, "Hi, I'm the new pastor at the First Baptist Church, and just wonder if there's anything I can pray for." That's not me. I'd rather be a hermit. I wanted to be a hermit, but that was the Holy Ghost. And so we got up to about 65 in a few months, and we had a thing with the youth. And the youth came together on Sunday nights. And that same Jesus, that Holy Ghost, showed up. We saw kids just fall in. Some, they're coming from different churches. The biggest church in town, some of them are coming from that, which is not in alignment with Church of God or the Baptist Church. But the Holy Ghost loves them too. And he came and the Spirit of God fell. It wasn't a Pentecostal thing. It was a Holy Spirit thing. But they just, the love of God exploded and they were drawing others to Jesus. Now some people get, they get afraid of the Pentecostal. And I probably was the greatest one. I was scared stiff. But you know, before we ever even got close to that, we saw this same Jesus show up and melt lives and manifest. That to me is the greatest thing, is that knowing that God is everywhere present all the time. You can't be so into mischief that he's not there, right there. You know, I was thinking about, I think I said this to Norma. You could be in a bar taking a drink and look at the bottom of the glass and the Holy Ghost could just say, hey, it's time. Now, I'm not saying y'all ought to run off to the water hole or something, you know. You know what I'm saying here? He's everywhere you are. And about the time that you just say, you know what, I can't do it, then I want you to turn to the ever-present living God. And you can say, and I've said this, you can say this to anybody you meet. Right now, if you will give him every piece of your puzzle, God can heal it. Every piece of your broken life, I don't care who you are, I don't care what you've done, you give him every piece. And the present God will manifest with healing your broken vessel. Are you proud of Jesus or what? Wow! You say, but I don't have the psychological training. Praise God. Praise the Lord. There was a time in my pastorate when I had all these books. I'd read the newest one that would come out. Behavioral modification. I know some behavioral modification. Invite the Holy Ghost into your life. He'll modify your behavior. Woo! And it won't cost you $200 an hour either. It'll just cost you everything you are. That's all. That's all he asks for. Everything you have, everything you are, you give it to him, and you know what? He'll give you back what you need. Woo! We were up there in Page, and you know, I think we had one can of something to eat. And we weren't of the school where you ask people for stuff. That was not our training. That was not our thought. And so we just prayed. And somebody, you know, I just bought over these groceries. Well, glory be. Woo! Now I could stand to go a week or two without eating. But back then, see, I was a lot slimmer and hungry. And I had three kids and a beautiful wife. But he always supplied. He always manifested. We got called over to be a youth pastor in Riverside, California. And so here I am. I'm a desert rat. They called me from Page, Arizona, which is the backside of the desert. You got to get through town to see the beautiful part of Lake Powell, where I caught my 7-pound rainbow. But we won't talk about 27 inches long, big, beautiful. But we won't talk about that. But you know, they called me, and so you're thinking, I'm not sophisticated enough for these young people, for this church there in Riverside, California, a fancy church, a big church. We saw the Holy Ghost show up with those kids, where they were weeping, repenting of their sin, falling in love with others, and bringing in others to the youth group. Well, see, sounds like a Pentecostal thing. You know what? Norm and I were both dead set against Pentecostal. I mean, I preached against it. So it wasn't Pentecostal. This was that God who's everywhere present showing up and watching young people fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and doing everything they could to bring their unsaved friends to the youth group. couple of them now are on Facebook with me. I mean, what, 35 years? No, we've been in town 35 years. 40 years ago, in our youth group that was on fire, and they'd say, oh, those were the great times. Yeah, they were great because God would show up to some of our meetings, and all they wanted to do was pray. Youth, teenagers, just want to pray? And this youth pastor would just, oh, God, thank you, Jesus. All you can do, when he shows up, all you can do is give him praise. So, one of the things that I want just to encourage you is that there are times when your pot, coffee, well, the pot or whatever, your vessel is empty. Get alone. If you can, find a quiet place. I know if you got kids, that's impossible. If you got neighbor dogs that bark a lot, it's kind of hard. See, I think demons go after dogs and say, and poke them. So I have we're surrounded by dogs. And I have asked God to have his angels go and comfort the dogs. Peace, peace, be still. There's no one out there trying to get you. Peace, be still. And sometimes it works. Other times the angels are busy helping you out or something. You know. Whoa, mercy's sake. But there you are, quiet and all alone, knowing that the mighty God of the universe is present. Sometimes I will just put my hands out like this and say, Lord Jesus, take my hands. You ever done that? Then just draw his incredible presence. I've asked him to do that and to come into my body and heal me at times. And sometimes it's incredible. It's incredible. Other times he says, you know, it's not that big a deal for you to have a little bit of pain. Grow up, boy. But love on me. And I would do that. Or have the Lord Jesus come and just put his hand on your cheeks. When I was pastoring, I had a lot of counsels, a lot of people coming in. And, you know, I didn't know, I'd studied a lot of books and stuff, but none of them seemed to work. But I would say to somebody, I said, here, okay, now, you just sit still. We're in the pastor's study. I'm guarded by a secretary out there. But I'm pastor's study. And I'd say, now, I'm going to come around behind you. I'm just going to pray. And if I feel led, I'll just put my hands on your shoulder. And I'm going to ask the Lord Jesus, who is present, to come and put his hands on your face. And breathe his life into you, like he did in John 20 for the disciples. He's no respecter of persons. He loves you as much as he loved any of the disciples or King David or anybody. He loves you as much. He's no respecter of persons. And so I said, okay, now we're going to pray. And as I'd start to pray, I'd say, Lord Jesus, we need you so bad. Come, put your hands on their face and breathe into them your Holy Spirit of refreshment. And of course, the fountains exploded. They would start bawling. You see, they didn't need to come to a counselor and pay $200 for an hour of telling him why life was so awful. They needed the Creator to come in and do a kind of like a drive-through car wash. Just needed to be vacuumed out. You know, I couldn't change anybody's. If they were hurting for money, I could say, well, we got a fund. We can give you $20. We have a fund. Well, my rent's $300, you know, or whatever. We couldn't do that. But that's not what they needed from me. What they needed from me is the same thing that all these people in Prescott Valley, Prescott, Chino Valley, Humboldt, Dewey, what they need from you is to be encouraged to draw from the living God. Say, you can go to the farthest place of the blue hills of Dewey. Let's get up there in the top of Big Bug Mesa, and you're all by yourself. Jesus is there. He could speak to you from a cactus. That was a takeoff on Moses. So what am I saying? I just want to stir up your minds that when there's a need that comes up, just draw on Jesus. Just draw on him. The other day, I'm cleaning out my van. I didn't know that I was cleaning out so that Allie could use it while she's home here for this. I did, but I'm cleaning it out. I'm going down the hill and putting stuff away in my storage unit. Our little rental, I had to kill the weeds. The weeds were so high, they were trying to kill me. It was kill or be killed. They killed my weed eater. That's how mean they were. So I thought maybe if I preach, they'd go to sleep and fall down or something, you know. But as I'm walking down the hill carrying these things, occipital. Huh? The word occipital. Excuse me? It just kept coming to me and coming to me. And so in my lightning fast mind, I say, I don't know what that means, so I'm going to give it to God and I'm going to pray for whatever that means and for whatever he put that on me. And see, God will do that. He'll put somebody's name on your mind. And you say, why am I thinking about them? The Holy Spirit's saying, would you be partnering with me and just lift them up in prayer? Well, what do I pray? I don't know. Just start praying. The Holy Spirit will show you how to pray. Just start praying. Some of my best prayers are, I don't know what I'm going to pray. But occipital. So I just prayed for that all that afternoon. Norma comes home from a woman's meeting that she had. And they were praying for a gal that had a tumor in part of her brain. And whoever was sharing that couldn't, she said it started with an O or something. They couldn't. So I've contacted this person that they were praying for, and it's the occipital lobe of her brain. That's where the tumor is. And the Holy Spirit had me praying for Rebecca. Isn't that awesome? How many times is he, maybe somebody you don't like comes to mind. Instead of getting angry and looking at all the reasons why they shouldn't not like you, whatever, begin praying for them. See, in him we live and move and have our being. And so he's wanting, as you're living and moving and have your being in him, he's wanting you to be an intercessor. And maybe he'll even tell you to, you know, take him out for lunch or something, or take him out for coffee, or go down and buy a thing of cookies and take it over, or make some cookies. He might do that. Why? Because he's present and because he cares. Heavenly Father, you're here right now. We sang the words, holy, holy, holy. And in my mind, Father, as we sang that, I could see that throne of glory that Revelation talks about. And I could see those elders bowing at your feet and crying out, holy, holy, holy. And Father, my prayer this morning is for each one here to just to slip down before that throne of glory, to cry, holy, 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 and let the glory of the Lord that fills the earth flood them, and then through them, flood Prescott Valley. That's my desire. Father, we just love the Tijimas. We love Pastor Don, Suzanne. We love them. And we just pray for them for refreshment. Father, for this house of worship, for this place that has been committed to loving Prescott Valley. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you draw the hungry here. The ones who are worshiping an unknown God right now. I believe this town is full of them. They don't know what they're after. They don't know what they're hungry for. But Father God, they're hungry for you, and we know that. So draw them. Draw them to this place. Just give Pastor Tijima the wisdom. Give Pastor Suzanne wisdom. Give these dear saints here your wisdom and anointing and power to love Prescott Valley to Jesus. And it's in his name, the Master, the name of which every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen.